welcome to another week of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff from C70 at the Bat. And with me, as always, Tara Wellman from Bird Seeds and Bird Tales. And Tara, as we'll get it out up front, it's been a busy week. Neither one of us have gotten to see a whole lot of baseball. It's probably a good thing that we haven't, however, because odds are we would have come up injured while watching. Isn't that about right?
That does sound about right. It seems like the only things I have seen this week are injury reports. So, you know, this time of year, my world revolves around basketball, which is unfortunate because it's the last thing I want to be paying attention to as baseball season is getting underway. But nonetheless, a week for the Cardinals that maybe is a tale of two stories. On the field, some definite positives, but off the field, some key role players that are less than 100% right now, and that's certainly of concern as they get further and further into the spring.
Yeah, the Cardinals seem to be rolling on the field. They've only lost twice so far in the spring, and with one tie mixed in there, it's been about a week now since they've taken an L. So that much is good, but let's talk about those off the field. Let's talk about those injuries. And the biggest one of the week, there are two major ones, I guess, that we need to discuss. But the first one is Matt Carpenter, who came up with some back spasm, back stiffness. He's not going to play in the World Baseball Classic because of it. Again, it's back stiffness. It feels like this is something that should work itself out. It's something that shouldn't be a big deal, but it's Cardinals, it's injuries, it's Matt Carpenter. I mean, how concerned are you?
Well, I think the most concerning part of it is that he's now verbalizing the fact that he thinks there may be an oblique situation, or that it could turn into an oblique injury if he pushes it. We've seen him deal with oblique injuries in the past, and it is not pretty. So I think the greater concern is just making sure that he takes care of himself at this point so that it doesn't become a larger issue than back stiffness. But, you know, that's a struggle in and of itself because it's spring. He needs these at-bats. I'm not super disappointed that he's not going to be playing the World Baseball Classic just selfishly as a Cardinals fan. There's less of a chance of him getting injured if he's not playing in the World Baseball Classic. But at the same time, that maybe just means he'll get injured early, like he is now. So I think that the level of concern for me is not off the charts at this point, just because it seems more precautionary than an actual long-term injury, like we've seen with Matt Carpenter and the oblique strains of the past. But the fact that that's sort of the direction they see this going, were he to try to push through it, that's where the concern factor is for me, because that's going to limit him pretty significantly if it's not something they can get under control here pretty quickly.
It's got to be somewhat a concern, because if it is somewhat tied to last year's oblique, which it's probably not specifically, but maybe just because the oblique was weakened last year, you know, how much, you know, I mean, he's rested for 4 months and it's not taken very long for this to flare up again. You know, how much can he do? When will he be able to, you know, really go at it full speed, like you're saying? You know, and if he can't get going even until later in the spring, or even very late in the spring, how much does that draw him down for the beginning of the season? I mean, Matt Carpenter is a guy that typically can hit. I mean, but I don't know that he's a guy that you're going to just... He's not necessarily one of those guys that you say he rolls out of bed and can hit. I mean, I think that he needs his reps and he needs to be out there seeing pitches. It's a little, you're right, it is a little disconcerting. You know, he can still work at first base, which seems still a little strange. you know, if you're trying to, I know he's got to continue to work at being a first baseman, obviously, but if your back's bothering you, I'm thinking, you know, from our point of view, just sit down, Matt. Let's just, you know, just you know, maybe get something on the back, chill, get a drink, something like that. Let's not aggravate it. But apparently the medical staff says it's fine and dandy. So, you know, that can never go wrong.
Yeah, no kidding. But it is an interesting situation, and I think you brought up a good point. Matt Carpenter is a guy that we've seen will work until he quite literally can't work anymore. This is not a guy that just rolls out of bed and goes to the ballpark. He puts in as many hours as anyone, if not more in most instances. So this is not going to be ideal, I would say, as far as his preparation. But it also, it's significant, I think, to a large degree in the overall picture for the Cardinals, because part of the emphasis on bringing in a leadoff hitter was because, especially without a guy like Matt Holliday, with Johnny Peralta not really being what he once was, without a guy that naturally will fit into that number three spot in the lineup, Matt Carpenter becomes that guy almost by default because of the hitter he's capable of being. But if you limit him because of a back situation or an oblique strain of some sort, it totally reshifts the dynamic of the lineup as well. So as difficult as it is to see him kind of take a step back at this point in the spring, it's certainly better than trying to force the issue and being without your only real three-hole hitter to start the year.
Yeah, this is, I mean, there are people the Cardinals can lose and survive. I mean, as much as we hated to see Alex Reyes go down, that was not necessarily, or it didn't feel like, it was going to be a huge impact on this team for this year, because of the depth the Cardinals have and things of that nature. If Matt Carpenter goes down, that's a totally different story.
Right.
You really can't afford to lose him or Yadier Molina for any length of time. I think some other spots can be covered, but those guys are huge. So hopefully it's, like I said, hopefully it's kind of a, you know, we're blowing it up because it's spring and there's not anything else to discuss, but until Matt Carpenter's out there on a regular basis, I think everybody's going to be kind of holding their breath. And again, that wasn't enough because, you know, one a week, that seems good, but no, Cardinals, they'll go over the top and bring you two injuries this week. Trevor Rosenthal, who was supposed to make his first start tomorrow, scratched with a tight lat, as they call it. Maybe this is a sign. Trevor Rosenthal's not supposed to be a starter. I don't know. He's going to need a couple of days, is what Matheny says. However, I mean, he was going to take this spot that Carlos Martinez was vacating for the World Baseball Classic. We don't know if there's necessarily a spot for him to come back and make another, you know, actual start this spring. And while I don't think he was going to be in the rotation anyway, any length of time that he is out really puts him behind the eight ball in trying to develop at least this idea that he can go 2, 3, 4 innings.
Certainly. I mean, I think the good news for Trevor Rosenthal is that he looked good in other appearances. But this is the one that he wanted. This was the opportunity that he's wanted really since day one. And, you know, they've toyed with this idea of stretching him out to give him the opportunity as a starter before. But he's always had a different role to fill on this team, one that couldn't really be filled by anyone else that they had available. So this was his opportunity. This is what he and his agent have been talking about the entire offseason. This is what he'd been working towards, not necessarily because the start on Monday was going to turn him back into a starter, but because it was going to be the first step in his opportunity to prove that he could be a guy with a role more like that of a starter. Not to downplay the significance of a guy in the ninth inning that does some of the things that Trevor Rosenthal did. I know that he's been a roller coaster and it's been infuriating at times. But he's also been absolutely incredible for a large portion of that I think gets overlooked. So it's not as if he's sort of been stuck in this role that was insignificant and this was his opportunity to shine. But this is the role that he wants. He wants to be more in that mix. And I think more than anything, more than perhaps the severity of the injury, it's just the disappointment factor for Trevor that this opportunity now is really in question, because like you said, there aren't too many opportunities that would line up the way this one did, the way that the rest of the spring falls out with the guys that are going to be starters that need to make those starts. And, you know, those guys going more innings in each one of those consecutive starts than they did in the first couple of weeks. So it's going to be it's going to be a bit more challenging, I think, for Trevor Rosenthal to lay claim on a new role under the circumstances now.
It would seem to be. I mean, you know, a start in spring doesn't really mean anything. I mean,
right.
You know, they'll pitch pitchers whenever they're going to pitch pitchers. And, you know, you're not going to, it's not like he was planning on going seven, you know, and throwing a gem or anything. But, yeah, I mean, it is disappointing. And I don't know what that means for the bullpen. Again, Cardinals aren't really big on it, but that may just mean he's going to be, you know, more like that eighth inning guy. Which is nothing wrong with that.
No.
I mean, we've talked about the idea of this, you know, old-timey fireman, if you will, that would come in and pitch two or three innings a couple times a week. But we've also discussed about how we're not 100% sure about the usage of that and more about who's going to be doing the usage of that. and so if this forces a more traditional look to the bullpen, it's not necessarily the worst thing. Now, again, if he's only out for a day or two, maybe they can still figure this out and build him up. But, again, it's the Cardinals. Again, until we see him back on the field, you know, because, well, let's transition here a little bit to one maybe semi-good news here. You know, Kevin Sechrist had a outing, I think, Friday. It was like on the side. He didn't pitch in a game. And the next expectation is that he will be in a game, you know, pretty soon. Probably the next day. Next time he pitches, we'll be in a game. So maybe tomorrow, might be Tuesday. But, you know, that's a situation that's been around for, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks now. Well, probably 3 weeks now, maybe, it feels like. It was right after Alex Reyes went down. And he's just now getting back. And obviously, all these injuries are different. But, you know, they're not pushing anybody. And that's going to mean that there's going to be a lot of time. And time gets by. I mean, you know, we're looking at less than a month until opening day. To try to get all these reps in, I mean, you may think you've got a lot of time, but it's not all as much as you think it is.
Yeah, and that's really one of the biggest logistical challenges, I think, of the spring is that, you know, when you have situations like this, whether it's Rosenthal or Sechrist or even, you know, Colton Wong or Matt Carpenter, guys that need those reps, whether it's at the plate or from the mound, and trying to find that balance between holding back and making sure that you take your time to prevent a significant injury, as opposed to making sure that you get those reps in the time allotted. I mean, you don't want to... Getting hurt during spring training is pretty brutal because you did what you thought you needed to do to prepare for the regular season, but all of that preparation means nothing if you don't make it out of spring training. But on the other hand, we've seen guys like Adam Wainwright, even last year, who didn't push it because the organization wouldn't let him push it in spring training, try to save some of what he was capable of for the regular season, and it didn't work. It didn't work as a for the team as a whole to sort of take it easy in spring training and just hold back a little bit until the regular season started. These guys don't work like that, so it's a tough balance to find, and there's only so much time to try to get it right.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you know, it's one of those things that the Cardinals, it's bad enough when everybody's healthy, but then to try to put all the pieces together when you've got injuries is difficult, and it's a tough thing for the whole staff. On the field, like we said, things have gone pretty well. Cardinals are 7-2 with a tie yesterday. They're actually, if you look at the standings, because they mean so much in spring, they're winning. They're actually the best team in the National League during spring. They've won, you know, a lot of lower scoring games, then put up a 14-11 win today. It's just, I mean, like I said, I know you haven't seen as much. I haven't seen that much, but just looking at the overall, you know, results, it's not a bad thing. I mean, I think that you want to see the Cardinals winning games and winning games in a fairly consistent manner. So far, the defense has looked okay, and the pitching staff has been good, and those are the kind of things that were questionable last year. If they carry this forward, it's definitely a shot in the arm.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing. I mean, like you said, spring training games, spring training wins, spring training starts, none of it really means anything in the long run, but I think in direct contrast to last season's spring training, it's certainly encouraging to see the signs of a team that's playing better defense, pitchers that look like they're strong and where they need to be for the most part, and an offense that isn't seeing a whole lot of, I guess not a lot of a dip between some of the top tier guys, some of the bottom of the lineup guys. And, you know, you get to see all those young guys coming in and making a splash too. There are a number of names that, even without watching all of the games, have been at the top of every newsfeed as far as Cardinals baseball is concerned. So the whole feel of this Cardinals spring training, which is so subjective and not at all a realistic way to analyze a team's readiness for the upcoming season. But that's really all we have at this point. It's so different from, I think, what we saw last season. So that doesn't mean a whole lot as far as what regular season baseball will look like or how this team stacks up against teams like the Cubs. But it's definitely more encouraging than what we saw last year. You know, everybody wants to win, even in spring training. So to have a solid start to their spring training season is not a bad thing any way you look at it, in my mind.
And they're doing it with, as you said, some different names. I've pulled up the list of who's played in the most games, and obviously it'd be a little, I think you'd be surprised to know that Tommy Pham has played in more games than anybody else. With 9, I don't know how many of those are pinch hit abouts, but he's got 18 at bats, which is about as much as anybody else as well. But you're looking at names like, Jose Martinez or Magnus Sierra. Matt Adams has 7 games. You know, of course, Yadier Molina, Yadier Molina is the only starter, or you consider a starter, that's played in that many games. He's played in 7, and that's partly because he's going to be taking off for the World Baseball Classic. Well, I don't know if he may have already done so. So they wanted to get in a number of games beforehand. So they're winning with people that they won't necessarily have during the season. And that's kind of an interesting way of going about it, and seeing the impact that some of these young guys are having now, even though they may not even be seen in St. Louis, definitely not to start the year, very likely some of these not until next year or maybe even the year after.
Yeah, it's a good look at what the organization does have to offer, especially when there's sort of this overall feeling that the minor league system is not as strong as it once was. And that happens in every organization. You have really great years and you have pretty lean years. And I think the last few years have felt like those lean years in the minor leagues, not because there wasn't an occasional talent like Alex Reyes, but there wasn't that sort of young core like we saw with, you know, Colton Wong and Trevor Rosenthal and Carlos Martinez and, you know, all this group that sort of came up together. We saw it previous to that, too, in the group that played together during the 2011 season. A lot of those guys were homegrown talent. So this is a great opportunity. And I always love during the spring to get a chance to see some of these players. But this year, especially, it seems like there are a handful of guys that are really making sure that their names are at the top of the list as far as the powers that be within the organization are concerned, whether it's to have them as consideration for, you know, a major league spot if one opens up, or if it's just to showcase the improvements that they've made from their Double-A season last year. Magnarius Sierra is a kid that I've seen quite a bit of when he was playing low A ball, and such an exciting talent and someone that I think fans will really like to see. But also the way that he's played this year, much like mm-hmm. you've seen from Harrison Bader or even Patrick Wisdom or, you know, some of these other guys that have been prospects but maybe not the top guy on the list. They're making a case for themselves to be right at that next level underneath the guys who are major league ready. And that's a great thing to see when, you know, there are half a dozen of them that are making that list.
Yeah, I mean, the story goes, at least the way Mike Matheny tells it, that another coach from another organization came over to him this spring and asked if Sierra was going to make the team. And he said, hey, this guy's not played above, you know, A ball yet. But just that's the impression that Sierra's making, that he's major league ready. I had not gotten a chance to see him until yesterday, and not that he did anything dramatic, but just the speed that he brings to the game is something different. And maybe we'll see some of that with Dexter Fowler this year, but obviously he's a guy that, you know, he's hitting 400 in the spring right now, and It's not going to get him on the major league roster, but if it gets him to Double A and he can do well there, it puts him in line to be an interesting call up. I mean, you've got guys like Harrison Bader and others that are in his way, but you know, he may not be as far away as we think he is. Now, a guy, and I know that you put this out on Twitter. Why don't you just talk about your Twitter question? That may be the easiest way to go about this, the one that you put out this evening.
Sure. Well, because I was looking back at some of these games and the impact that a lot of these young guys are having. Now I can't speak. I'm a little tired from three 12-hour days of high school girls basketball. Let me try again. with the number of guys that we just talked about that have had a significant impact in a number of these games, I was curious what the fan base thought so far, as far as which one of these guys is closest to a spot on the major league roster. So I did send out a poll on Twitter. I included Harrison Bader, Magnarius Sierra, Jose Martinez, and Paul DeJong. Those are guys that have all sort of been right on the verge of being top level prospects. Martinez, I don't know if you really consider him a prospect at this point. I think he's 28. He's not really in the young kid just trying to make a name for himself category, but nonetheless, he's actually by far the leader in the clubhouse on that poll right now. And people seem to be really impressed with what Martinez brings to the table right now. There's a lot to be said for his versatility. Mike Matheny seems to like him at first base as well as in the outfield. He had a three-run homer today in that slugfest against the Mets. And he's already on the 40-man roster, so it seems to be the most logical of moves if there's a spot available. Come spring, Martinez is making a case for himself, much to the chagrin of someone like Tommy Pham, who may see Martinez sort of nipping at his heels, which is something we talked a little bit about last week.
Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned it a number of places, and I, you know, eat as much crow as possible, as I have not, did not necessarily see what the organization saw in Jose Martinez, because I expected him to have been waived at some point this offseason to make room on the 40 for people on the 40-man roster or things like that. It seemed like the easiest path. And so far, the organization has kept him. And so far, this spring, he's definitely shown that, you know, he's got something there. Now, again, it's spring. We've seen a lot of guys come into spring and tear it up. And then, you know, if they make it to the roster, they don't necessarily pan out. Now, we'll see if that happens. But if you're looking at just a roster spot now, and like you said, I think the biggest thing is he's already on the 40-man roster. There's no juggling that needs to be done to get him on there, whereas most everybody else on your list, except for, I guess, Harrison Bader, probably, he may not be. Probably everybody else that needs to be on the 40 would have to be, somebody would have to be added. Now, that's not saying that can't be done. As soon as the 60-man DL comes available and you can move people like Zach Duke there, I mean, you're freeing up spots. But it is probably, I mean, he's earned it so far, and we'll see if that continues after another, you know, it's only been a week of games, but if that continues, you know, not only is he snapping at Tommy Pham's heels, but if he's playing first base, that really makes you wonder what Matt Adams is going to do on this mm-hmm. team. You know, Matt Adams went off to a slow start, and is, you know, got a couple hits in his last outing, but you know, if Matt Carpenter is going to play first base 90% of the time, and Jose Martinez is going to play, you know, up to 4 or 5% of the time, do you really need Matt Adams for the other 5%, or do you just, you know, expand Jose Martinez's role there? You know, this very well could be a year. We don't see it very often, but this could be a year where Mo makes a deal close to the end of spring just to free up some roster spots.
Yeah, I think Matt Adams is kind of a man without a position right now, any way that you look at it. And the writing was sort of on the wall the way that last season ended. But, you know, he came into spring and there was a lot made about his physical conditioning and the attempts that he'd made to make himself just stronger and more fit. And all of that's great, but I don't think that that's ever really been the struggle for Matt Adams. I think the problem is there's a very clear hole in his swing, and he can't seem to make progress as far as that is concerned, especially with left-handed pitching. And that makes him pretty expendable. You know, when you can't play, when Matt Adams can't make a difference with his bat, and he's playing behind Matt Carpenter, he's just not going to see the field a whole lot. That's just, if that's what he can do, that's, he's not really setting himself up for much job security with the Cardinals as it is. But at the same time, because of the struggles he's had the last few years, I think it makes it difficult for John Mozeliak to get a significant return, just because everyone else in the league has seen the struggles of Matt Adams too. So it's an odd situation, and one that I don't know that there's a clear resolution to, just because of the way the last few years have worked out for Matt Adams, or not worked out, rather, that might be more accurate. And the way that baseball works, there's always going to be someone coming up behind you trying to take your job, and he might be in that situation this year.
Yeah, and you look at, you know, if I think John Mozeliak would have liked to have seen him come out and have a very strong spring to give him the opportunity to at least be some sort of trade market, but, you know, 10 strikeouts and 17 at-bats, that's rough. And I know he's reworked his swing somewhat, and he's still trying to figure it out, perhaps, but, you know, again, when you're fighting for a job, you just can't, I mean, you can't do that. You know, yeah. I mean, you're leading the team by three. I mean, you got a guy in DeJong who's behind him, who's had two more at-bats and three less strikeouts, and a guy that's never faced major league pitching. And, again, I mean, it's spring, you're facing different people, but, you know, that's not going to look good for you. So, I like Matt Adams, I really do, and I hope that, you know, again, early spring, he could go out and hit, you know, a 7-hit week this week, and his batting average is going to be like 400, and maybe we're having a whole different conversation next week. But right now, he's kind of behind the eight ball. He's got to dig that out, and I'm just not sure with the way this team's set up that he can do that. I guess the last thing we can talk about beforehand, while we're talking, let's end on a positive note. Let's talk about the fact that Aledmys Diaz apparently not looking like a one-hit wonder. Hitting .429 in the spring. I saw he made an error today. But overall, I mean, I think there's always got to be some sort of hesitation after a guy who has struggled so much in the minor leagues comes up and has a great year. You kind of wonder, you know, is the league going to figure him out? And you know, we're putting this spring training caveat at everything we say, but, you know, it is good to see that, you know, I think we would be very, very concerned if he was hitting .118 with 10 strikeouts like Matt Adams was.
Certainly. And I think that this is exactly what everyone could have hoped to see from him, especially after the way the spring went last year. As far as, I mean, remember, this is a kid that wasn't even supposed to make the team. It was an injury and then a second injury that gave him the spot. And even then, it was sort of with a caveat that Jed Jerko might split playing time or take over if necessary. So to watch what he did last year was spectacular. To see him back it up this year will really just confirm the hope that everyone had when we saw him go out there and really take ownership of that shortstop everyday role. I think it's impossible not to like Aledmys Diaz. And that can be frustrating when it's a guy that comes out like Matt Adams has and just continues to struggle. But it also makes it that much easier to be excited about Aledmys Diaz, even if it's just spring training stats at this point.
Yeah, again, you deal with what you got, and that's good. I mean, we'll hopefully it'll continue, but it does give you a little bit of optimism. Cardinals play all week long. They've got a game at the Twins tomorrow, and they'll be playing John Gast. We'll be pitching that one instead of Trevor Rosenthal. They got a couple of games with the Marlins, a couple of games with the Nationals, the Astros, and Braves this week. Just that full week of baseball, I think some of these are going to be on Fox Sports Midwest this week. Maybe people get a chance to watch them during the day. It's getting to that point. And the World Baseball Classic starts up today. And I guess, I mean, the Cardinals seem to have lost a lot of their representation in that, with Carpenter not going and Reyes being out. But they'll still have Yadier Molina, and they'll still have Carlos Martinez. And I'm not sure if there's any others or not. I know there's some minor leaguers, I think, that are pitching for some of the teams. So something to watch there. Tara, is there anything else we need to touch on before we close it up for the night?
You know, I don't know that we have a whole lot to discuss with this just yet, but I would just throw it out there this week. Keep an eye on Jordan Schaefer and the situation that could develop there. I'm fascinated by the possibility of essentially a two-way player making a major league roster. One, because I think it's absolutely insane and I love it, but two, because I have no idea how Mike Matheny is going to use that, and it's kind of terrifying. That's sort of the story that I'm most curious to follow through the rest of the spring, just because there's so much just mind-boggling potential there, like classic Joe Maddon style, this should never work, but it does, kind of baseball happening there. So that's not necessarily, there's not a whole lot to discuss yet at this point, but just keep an eye on that. Let me know what you think about the Jordan Schaefer story, and maybe we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, I believe he's on the throwing schedule for tomorrow's game against the Twins, and then we'll see if he gets to hit as well. I don't know. I don't know. I'm a little interested. I mean, I like this idea. I really would have liked this idea if Renke Keel could have done it a few years ago. But, you know, I remember Brooks Kieschnick playing for, I know it was for Brewers. I think he also maybe played for the Cubs doing it. It can happen. I'm very, very doubtful that it will happen. But you're right. It's kind of interesting. It's something to watch. And, yeah, maybe we'll talk about that. Maybe he'll get a win and hit a home run this week, and we can talk about how insane this is going to be, because you know that Tony La Russa would have taken him. I mean, in a heartbeat.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, that Tony would have tried to get two or three of those kind of guys.
Tony would have given Joe Maddon a run for his money in how many ways he can utilize a left-handed pitcher other than pitching.
Yes, very much so. So that would have been very interesting. All right, well, we'll hold that, and we'll see about talking about it next week. But until then, I'm Daniel, and that's Tara. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.